Bhagavad Lila, 10th Canto, Chapter 36, Arista Sura Mardana Lila, the killing of Arista, the bull demon. One evening in Kartik, Bahulastami, Krishna Astami, Shamsundar was preparing to enact his rasa dance at Govardhan. And a demon named Arista, disguised as a bull with a large hump, appeared there about 9:30 at night, digging up the earth with his hooves and making it tremble like an earthquake. Aristasura entered Vrindavan, pawing the ground, his eyes glaring and his tail raised. The demon dug up the earth with the tips of his horns while passing stool and urine here and there. Mistaking the great demon for a mountain, the clouds hovered over his hump. And when the Brijvasis saw Arista, they were astonished. That demon bull was roaring so fiercely that some of the pregnant cows and women suffered miscarriages, while the cows and bulls fled into the pasturing grounds. The gopas and gopis rushed to the shelter of Lord Govinda, crying out, "Krishna, Krishna!" Upon seeing the coward community distraught and running away in fear, Krishna calmed them by saying, "Do not be afraid." Then he called out to that Arista demon, "You fool! What are you doing, you wicked rascal? Frightening the coward community and animals? I am here just to punish miscreants like you." Then Krishna slapped his arms with his palms like a wrestler and casually threw his arm over the shoulder of a gopa friend while facing a demon. Aristasura became enraged, and pawing the ground with his hooves, he charged Krishna, pointing the tips of his horns straight ahead while glaring menacingly with his fiery red eyes. That Arista demon rushed at Krishna with great speed, like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra. Sri Krishna seized the demon by the horns and tossed him away a distance of 18 steps, about 60 yards. Although the demon was breathing hard and perspiring, the bull demon got up and rushed at Krishna once more in a mindless rage. Krishna once again seized Aristasura by the horns and forcibly threw him to the ground. Then Krishna, with his foot, he squashed the demon as one might wring out a wet rag on the floor. Vomiting blood and passing stool and urine, kicking his legs hither and thither violently, his eyes bulging from their sockets, Aristasura went painfully to the abode of death. Witnessing this wonderful pastimes, the Swargadevas showered flowers on Krishna as he entered the village of Braj, along with Balaram, while the Brijvasis glorified Krishna in great jubilation. The origin of Radhakund is described in the Puranas. The gopis, after Krishna killed Aristasura, they said, "Shyam, you killed a demon in the form of a bull. Nevertheless, it is considered Gohatya. So you should atone by visiting all the places of pilgrimage, as Indra did after killing Vrijasura." Shyam replied, "Why should I wander about the whole world? I will call all the holy places here. Just see." Saying this, Shyam struck the ground with the heel of his foot. Immediately, the water of all the holy places came and announced their arrival. "I am Godavari. I am Ganga. I am Pushkar. I am Haridwar. I am Kashi. I am Badrinath. I am Ranga Kshetra. I am Suruduni Ganga." Then Krishna took a bath in that kund, Shyamakund, Krishnakund, and said to the gopis, "I have created a pond from all the holy places, but you have never executed such pious activities." Then the beautiful-faced Radharani replied, I must create an even more beautiful pond than his. Gopis, get to work. The gopis saw a hole left from Arishtasura's hooves, and within an hour they had dug out a beautiful kund using their bangles, kangan, kangan kund. Krishna told the gopis that they could use the water from his pond to fill theirs, but Radharani insisted, "No, this is impossible, because your water is contaminated by gohatya, the sin of killing a cow." A celestial person then appeared from Shamakund as a representative of all the sacred tirthas. He bowed before Radhika and begged her to let him fill her pond with waters from all the holy places that were now gathered in Shamakund. Radha consented, and thus at midnight on Bahulastami in Kartik, the water in Shamakund broke through the Sangam and filled Radhakund. Then Krishna said, "My dear Radha, may your kund become even more famous than my own, and I will come regularly to bathe and enjoy my pastimes in your kund." Replying, Radha said that she would also bathe in Shamakund, and that night Krishna enjoyed a rasa dance at Radhakund. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan, Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Shri Govinda Gopi Nata Madana Mohan, Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan. Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan. Who is Krishna's dear most beloved? Rupa Goswami explains in Upadeshamrita, number 10. One who selflessly performs virtuous acts in accordance with the path of karma yoga is superior to those engaged in fruitive activities. The Brahma Jnanis with spiritual knowledge are transcendental to the three modes of material nature. They are more dear to Krishna than the followers of Karmakanda, are always performing virtuous deeds. More dear to Krishna than Brahmajnanis are devotees like Sanak, who have abandoned Jnana and consider bhakti alone the best path. The Brajagopis, whose very lives belong solely to Krishna, are even more beloved to Krishna than all such loving premi devotees like Narada and others. Amongst all those beloved gopis, Srimati Radhika is more dear to Sri Krishna than his own life. And in the same way, Shyam dearly loves Radha's pond, Sri Radhakund. Therefore, what spiritually perfected person would not reside on the banks of Sri Radhakund and in a state of transcendental consciousness perform Krishna bhajan, or perform bhajan of Sri Krishna's eightfold daily pastimes? Text 11. The sages declare that as Srimati Radhika is the foremost object of Sri Krishna's prema, Radhakund, her pond, is similarly dear to Krishna. By taking snan, even once, within her divine waters of Sri Radhakund, Radhakund will bestow the rare treasure of Gopi Prem for Yugala Kishore, which is so difficult to attain even for such elevated devotees of Bhagavan as Sri Narada. What to speak of ordinary sadhakas? Tat premedam sat krid api sarasnatur avishkaroti. once Sakrit Premadam, once who takes bath, it will Avishkaroti, will arouse prema in the mood of the gopis, gopi bhav, gopi prema. After Krishna killed Aristasura and then manifested Shamakund and Radhakund, after this Leela, Narada Muni went to Mathura to visit King Kamsa. Narada wanted to expedite Krishna's mission of killing the demons. Narada said, "O Kans, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Ram is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudeva entrusted Krishna and Balaram to the care of his friend Nanda Maharaj. And it is these two boys who have killed your men, disguised as demons, entering Vrindavan." This was very important information for Kans, because it had been predicted that the eighth son of Devaki would kill him. Hearing Narada talk, Kansa became furious and lost all control, picked up his sword with the intention of killing Vasudeva for having misled him. Narada restrained Kansa by reminding him that it was the sons of Vasudeva that he must fear, not Vasudeva himself. Still, Kansa once again arrested Vasudeva and Devaki and put them in iron shackles. One may think that Narada's actions were inimical. Vasudeva did not think this. He was grateful. Because of Narada's words to Kamsa, then Krishna would come to Mathura, and then he would get the Lord's association, or his son's association. Kamsa summoned Keshi and ordered him to go kill Ram and Krishna. The king then called for his ministers, Mushtik, Chanura, Shala, and Toshala, and his elephant keepers. Kansa said, "Krishna and Balaram are living in Nanda's cowherd village, and it is predicted that these two will be the cause of my death. When they come to Mathura, kill these two boys on the pretext of a wrestling match. Now build a wrestling arena with a large seating capacity, and invite everyone from Mathura and the surrounding areas to see the wrestling competition, Krishna Balaram and our men. O Mahout, place the giant elephant, Kuvalayapida, at the entrance of the wrestling arena, and have the beast kill my two enemies. Commence the Dana Yajna on Chaturdashi day, and offer in sacrifice the proper animals for the satisfaction of Lord Shiva." Next, Kansa called for Akrura, who knew well the art of diplomacy. Kansa affectionately took Akrura by the hand and said, "O most charitable one, please do me a favor out of respect. Among all the Bhojas and Brishnis, you are the kindest. O gentle Akrura, you always carry out your duties soberly, and so I am depending upon you. Go to Nandagaon, where the two sons of Anakadundubi are living, and bring them here without delay. As you can see, I have arranged for a very nice new chariot for your use." Kansa thought that Akrura was a simple-minded person who would be excited to ride in a new chariot. Actually, Akrura was pleased because it would have been inappropriate for Krishna and Balaram to travel in a chariot that had already been used by the wicked Kansa. Kansa continued, "The demigods have sent these two boys to kill me. Bring them here, and invite Nanda and the coward men to attend the wrestling festival and tell them to bring gifts of tribute. When Krishna and Balaram arrive, I will have them killed by my powerful elephant, Kuvalayapida. And if they happen to escape this attempt, they escape Kuvalayapida, I will have them killed by my wrestlers. After the death of Krishna and Balaram, I will kill Vasudeva and all his relatives, Brishnis, Bhojas, and Dashahas. I will kill my father, Ugrasen, because he is greedy for my kingdom. And I will kill his brother, Devaka, and all my other enemies as well. At last, the earth will be free of all thorns in my path. My elder relative, Jarasand, the father of my wives, is my well-wisher, as are Dwivida, Shambara, Narak, and Bana. I will utilize them to kill all of the kings that are allied with the demigods. So at last I shall rule the earth. Now you have understood my intentions. Go at once and bring Krishna and Balaram here. Sri Akura replied, O King Kans, you have very expertly devised the means to free yourself from all misfortune. Still, one should be equipoised in success and failure, because it is certainly destiny that controls the results of one's endeavors. Ordinary people consider themselves to be the sole cause of success, and so are determined to act on their desires, even when fate prevents their fulfillment. Although this seems to be the case at present, I will excuse your order. Thereafter, Kansa dismissed his ministers and retired to his quarters, while Akura returned home.